Good morning. Go ahead and open to Colossians 3, 15 and 16. Colossians 3, 15 and 16. I want to continue from my last exhortation talking about the body of Christ and the unity we have in the body of Christ. Last time you might remember we discussed a couple things that the unity in the body of Christ means that we're of one mind, of one voice, of one love, of one accord. And as I mentioned in Romans 15, may the God of endurance grant you to live in such harmony with one another that with one voice you might glorify God. We also discussed how the Lord uses the picture of the body, a physical body, to characterize the body of Christ, us as the church. And you might remember that I put up a picture of a school of fish. Remember that? And it's really amazing how a school of fish moves like one body, but that's not connected enough to describe us. Do you get it? We're not individual beings kind of working together. That might be like an army does something like that. We're actually, God says we're more connected than that, believe it or not. And living this way ushers in unity in the body. And then my last point was that we are indeed spiritually connected. You know, we're spiritually connected even if you don't know you are or want to be. We're spiritually connected. We saw that in 1 Corinthians chapter 12. Well, today I want to bring you a few more points of the body of Christ, and I'll end this series next month with the last exhortation on this. But let's take a look at Colossians 3, 15 and 16, as I asked you to turn to. And we'll start by reading that. Colossians 3, 15. And let the peace of God rule in your hearts, to which you were also called in one body, and be thankful. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly, in all wisdom, teaching, and admonishing one another in psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs, singing in with grace in your hearts to the Lord. Amen. You know, every time the Lord speaks of his body in the word, there's always a mention of God or Christ or his word. It's always connected, right? Because remember, we as the body are connected to the head, who's Christ. We're very dependent on Christ. In fact, that's all we have. Is Christ. That's why we're here together. We are nothing without Christ. We must have our identity and our center around Christ. You know, there's no deep unity between us just because we like the same things, or we dress the same way, or we even like to do life and through the certain methods or practices. No, there's just not a deep unifying intimacy through a body through that, right? Again, that's what we might see in a club or a sorority or something. They have unifying things, but it goes much deeper than that. Ours is Christ, and that we're head to that. Our unity and connection comes because we hold fast to the head. We're all in alignment to the truth, right? To Christ. We're clinging to Him together. He is our all in all. And so, in the body, we continually must have Christ in every aspect of our life. In other words, in our fellowship, even on our horizontal, don't get too far from Christ in our horizontal. Does that make sense? Let's not center our fellowship around something else. It should be around Christ. It's got to be. You know, there's a saying, you might even see it. I actually saw it as a bumper sticker. It says, keep Christ in Christmas. And amen, keep Christ in Christmas. Let's keep Christ in everything we do, right? Let's keep Christ in every conversation, every activity, every service opportunity. Let's keep Christ, because we have nothing without Christ. And young people, when you get together and you spend time together and talk, may Christ be flowing in your conversation. You know, something I just thought of, I don't have it planned here, but it just came to mind. You know, in the first Great Awakening, one of the ways that God used to kickstart that, if you will, was Jonathan Edwards noticed a lot of the young adults were gathering together and they were spending time together. But their conversations weren't really centered around Christ. They were interested in going off and talking about other things. And he exhorted them, may Christ be in everything you do. May your conversations revolve around Christ. Don't just bring Christ into them. Make them about Christ. And so those times of those sort of parties turned into prayer meetings and turned into fellowship and talking about the Lord and Bible studies. And that was a huge way at the very root that God started that. But as we look at the body of Christ, always be looking for his work. We are redeemed people, aren't we? Amen. So we should be looking for redemption in all things. We should be looking out there for and saying, that's his grace. That's his mercy. That's his forgiveness. That should be our conversation that we talk about. And it's very fitting because I wanted to mention one quote. Yesterday, does anybody remember what yesterday was? Was a holiday when we celebrate the missionary Patrick of Ireland and his death on March 17th every year. And he has this quote, and I know you might have heard it before, but I want listen to the last two parts that he says in this quote, Patrick of Ireland. Christ be with me, Christ within me, Christ behind me, Christ before me, Christ beside me, Christ to win me, Christ to comfort me and restore me, Christ beneath me, Christ above me, Christ in quiet, Christ in danger, Christ in hearts of all that love me, Christ in the mouth of friend and stranger. So in all things, may we keep Christ at the center. May we keep Christ at that. The second point I wanted to bring out, if you're looking back at Colossians 3, is that unity within the body brings increase. It welcomes the Spirit of God. When we have unity, it welcomes the Spirit of God to move, to bless, to build up His work. In Colossians 3 there, you can see, we see that in the body of Christ, there's an edifying, right? There's a building up. There's a strengthening that comes through exhorting one another. We speak in unity to one another, right? As it says in Ephesians 4, we speak in unity to one another, only what is good for the necessary edification, that it may what? Impart grace to the hearers. That's how we get to talk to one another. Praise God. Amen. And we see this clearly also in Colossians 2. Look at Colossians 2:18. That we shouldn't forsake one another. We shouldn't forsake the body. But we should hold fast to the head, from which all the body, nourished and knit together by joints and ligaments, grows with the increase that is from God. This is like a body growing stronger. You ever been sick? I mean, like, you know, like the flu or something, like you're on the couch and you can't get up. And then slowly you're like, oh, I think I can get up. You know, I can like walk myself to the restroom, or I think I can go outside now. You're getting stronger and you can feel your body. This is what it is when we edify one another. This is a body growing stronger. That's the image here. And so the unity in the body brings increase, it brings strength, it brings advancements, because we're all clinging to the same head, Christ. And there's an upwardness and a Godwardness that this ushers in. And we talk a lot about horizontal and vertical, right? We're horizontally, we're fellowshipping with one another. Vertical, we're with God. Here's my encouragement to you today. Let's vertical together to God. Vertical together. That's the unity of the body of Christ. So we worship God together as one. And my third point, lastly today, is just something similar. The unified body edifies one another. We must edify one another. It really fulfills what the Lord has for us. Hebrews 10. You might be familiar with this, Hebrews 10:24, and let us consider one another in order to stir up love and good works, not forsaking the assembly of ourselves together as the manner of some, but exhorting one another, so much more as you see the day approaching. You know that word stir up? In our culture today, pretty much has a negative connotation. Oh, they're just stirring up strife and gossip. Well, the Lord tells us to stir up love and good works amongst one another. So may we do that. Colossians 2 says that their hearts may be encouraged, knit together in love, attaining to all the riches, the full assurance of the understanding of the knowledge of the mystery of God. That's an amazing, amazing statement. That we grow, as we grow in the fullness together in God, He knits our hearts together in love. And this is the way, one way the Lord brings us to a better understanding of Him. A better knowledge of Him. That's why it's so important not to forsake the body, not to forsake the church, forsake fellowship, because together in Christ, we attain the full riches and an understanding of Him. So we are indeed to edify one another so that we may know Christ and understand Him more. This should really breed in us, brothers and sisters, a tightness, right? A closeness, kind of like a spiritual hug, as it were. And it's good that we physically hug one another. There's also a deeper hug going on here, too. Now, what is that? So you might ask, what does that look like? You might have heard the term of like a band of brothers or a band of sisters that are leaning on one another, right? It might look like a call in the middle of the night to a brother or sister. It might be a text on your phone. Hey, brother, pray for me, right? It might be confessing to one another, a genuine realness to show one another that we're not perfect, but it's okay. Because Christ is perfect. Our head is perfect. And so what are we to do in this life? What are we supposed to run after? What's our mindset as we think about the body of Christ? I'll just want to end on this verse, Romans 14:19 in discussing how we respect one another and our differences and the great diversity that God brings in the body. It says, therefore, let us pursue the things which make for peace and the things by which one may edify one another. May this be what we run after, family. May this be what we pursue, the things that make for peace and the things that will edify one another. Now, as we enter this time of confession, let us consider how we're clinging to the head, how we're edifying one another, and the increase that God might bring. Let's pray. Oh, Lord God, we thank you for your magnificent work through the body of Christ. We thank you that this is the bride of Christ. And Lord, we thank you that you have exhorted us and reminded us so many times in your word that we are to be one, that we are to be of one mind, one heart. Father, we confess to you that we don't always act this way as we drift off to our own desires and our own concerns and our own manners. But Father, may we stir up love and good works. Father, help us to serve one another and bear with one another in love and gentleness and respect. Father, we thank you that you have given us this word today to edify one another, to seek you, to that Christ would be the center of all things we do. Every conversation would be centered around Christ. And we would reach up to you vertically, together, God. And that would be what our horizontal looks like, is consumed with the word and the name of Christ that is above all names. Father, we thank you. And as we look inward now, as we examine ourselves and we consider how we walk this road, Father, would you sanctify us? Would you peel back our hearts so that we may grow in unity even more? And we take this time now to confess individually to you.